Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Friday to you. We're making it through another week of February with some beautiful weather, at least warmer weather, and we'll take it all the way through spring. That'd be a wonderful thing for me, and we're okay with that as we march on. We are right in the midst of I Love My Church month here at Bible Baptist Church, and this Sunday will be I Love My Church Sunday. We have our chili cook-off and pie bake-off tomorrow night, and then we go right into the Sunday services on Sunday, and it'll be a great Lord's Day. We look forward to being together with the people of God, and services 9:30 for our Sunday school and Bible classes, 10:30 for the morning service, 5:30 for the evening service on Sunday. So come on out and join us if you don't have a church home. And we'd love to have you be our guest on this Sunday as we have I Love My Church Sunday. Now, if your Bible's close by, I want to go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is the voice of experience. The key verse here is verse 11, where he says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." That's Psalm 34. There's 22 verses in this psalm, and there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So this is known as an acrostic psalm. Each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so let's look at this experience. I think David was a man of many experiences. And in this particular psalm, David is on the run from Saul. And he seeks refuge in Gath. You remember, that's where he acted crazy, like a crazy man, and let the spittle run down his beard and such, and clawed at the wall and things. And he wanted to join the army when they went to battle against Israel, but the Philistines wouldn't let him. And God delivered him in a wonderful, wonderful way. And the Jews used this psalm when they were among their enemies, when they were in a hostile environment. And boy, isn't that where we live? Maybe they were captured in battle, but David's older now, and he says, "I can teach you some things." And by the way, isn't life always learning? Boy, you never want to get to the point in your life where you're not learning something, where you can't be taught. So our job, by the way, parents, is to teach our children the fear of the Lord. And learning what it is to not only love God, but fear God as well. So here's what he teaches us. Let's look and learn from the voice of experience. Number one here is about, he teaches us about desire. Verse 12 says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" His desire is life. Nobody desires drudgery. Nobody desires dullness. Nobody desires to be a deadbeat. You desire life. You desire many days. You desire to see good. Notice, he doesn't say you're just desiring existence. You're just desiring to be. No, you're desiring life and length of life and use of your life and well-being of life. Jesus reminds us, life is not in the abundance of possessions that we possess. And so we know when we desire life, we're talking about joyful, happy, abundant life. And we know that life begins with Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no life apart from God. That's why the Bible says you're dead in your sins and trespasses. And so what brings that abundant life, what brings that desire for life is having Christ in your life and having Christ in your heart, because he brings a desire to serve God with your life, to do something for God with your life. Listen, the desire for life is a desire for Christ. The desire for life is a desire for his word. The desire for life is a desire to be spiritually minded. We walk, as the Bible says, in newness of life. So I get a desire once I meet Jesus Christ and receive him as my Savior. I have a desire to do what God placed me here to do. Whether it's my job, my family, my hobbies, my home, my friends, my possessions. Oh, my friend, I want to do anything and everything that God would have for me to do. the will of God. That's desire. I desire life, and I desire the abundant life, and only Jesus Christ can provide that. But then he also teaches us about evil. Verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Keep your tongue from evil. Depart from evil. Seek, if you're ready to seek life, if you desire life, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to depart from evil? Are you ready to lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us? And the biggest source of that problem is our tongue. James 3 addresses that. You're never going to desire and enjoy life if you don't learn to guard your tongue. That if something's bad, you don't have to say it. Just because it comes into your mind doesn't mean it has to come out of your mouth. Someone said you can't help having false teeth, but you sure can't help having a false tongue. And that's so true. Oh, my friend, depart from evil. Get away from evil. Set a distance between you and evil. Set a distance between you and temptation. See, then you'll do good, and you only overcome evil with good. That's what Romans 12 tells us, and it tells us, abhor that which is evil. How? By cleaving to that which is good. That's the surest way to avoid evil, is to cleave to that which is good. So he's teaching us about our desire for life. And he's teaching us then we must depart from evil and we have to seek good. You don't not do evil by saying, I won't do evil, I won't do evil, I won't do evil, I won't do this, I won't do this. No, you're going to do that because that's all you're thinking about. No, you replace it with good. And you're so busy being filled with good, there's no place for the evil to come in. Well, then verse number 14, he talks about peace. It teaches us about peace. He says, seek peace and pursue it. Notice, he didn't say make peace. He said seek peace. Well, why don't we make peace? Because the Bible says Christ has already made peace by the blood of his cross. Well, how do I seek peace then, preacher? Well, number one, the Bible says we're to seek not to be a stumbling block. We're never trying to cause someone else to stumble in their Christian walk. We don't let our liberty be evil spoken of and be a problem to somebody else. Number two, I will not be offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, I get so weary sometimes of people saying, well, I was offended by that. Well, get over it there, sweet cakes. You don't love the word of God. No, I didn't say that. Jesus, well, the word of God says that. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Quit being offended by every little thing. Listen, just decide that's not going to get me off track. I'm not going to take that personally. And if I ever get offended, if my brother offends me, I'm going to seek peace about it. I'm going to live in peace among the brethren. And listen, it is a glory for princes to overlook a transgression, Proverbs tells us. Why can't you just overlook it? Why can't you just say, I forgive them? Jesus looked at those who crucified him and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Couldn't you and I forgive those who do us wrong? You'll never get peace of mind by giving people a piece of yours. You'll never get peace of mind by giving others a piece of yours. Peace. Then he teaches us in verse 15 through 17 about prayer. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. David knew something about prayer, didn't he? He said, hey, God's eyes and God's ears are upon us. He's seeking peace. And remember now, he's talking about seeking peace, but then he goes to prayer. The songwriter was right, wasn't he? When he said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, listen, I have no desire to pray if God's not hearing, if God's not listening. If you can beat the devil regularly, you're going to beat him in daily prayer. And if you can beat him in daily prayer, you'll beat him anywhere and everywhere. God has promised to hear our prayers. Not every prayer you pray is going to be answered in the way you want it to be. God may change to what you're asking for to make sure that he can answer it, that'll bring glory to his name. But Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and he was able to defeat the lions in the lion's den. And when we pray regularly, we'll be able to defeat the lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour of us. And so let's pray. Let's make sure that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open unto our cry. Don't forget that today. And then he teaches verse 18 about nearness. Nearness. Notice what he says. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So he teaches us about desiring life, keeping our tongue from evil, defeating evil by seeking good. He teaches us about peace. He teaches us about prayer. Now he teaches us about nearness. He teaches us about being fellowship with God. And he said, you want to be nigh to God? You want God to be close to you? He said, brokenheartedness. Brokenheartedness, a contrite spirit. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He said the proud are far off. The brokenhearted. Just when you're brokenhearted and you think God is the furthest away, that's when he's nearest to you. That's when he's closest to you. I'm thinking over here about David's prayer of confession in Psalm 51. And he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And broken is a parted by violence. That's what that word means. When it says contrite, it means that it's worn or bruised, deeply affected with grief or sorrow. You get that heart that way, and you know what? God says, I draw nigh to somebody like that. See, God was getting, you going through trials, you're going through some heartache, you're going through some sorrow. God may be getting you ready to be near to him. He did that with David, and he'll do that for you and for me. And so, remember, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Then lastly, he speaks to us about affliction. Affliction. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You're not saved from afflictions. You're delivered in afflictions. Jesus said, in the world ye will have tribulation. And so, Paul would write, I'm troubled on every side, but not distressed. Why? Because the Lord delivers us, notice, from them all. Hey, the lion's den, the fiery furnace, the armies of thousands, a giant of Goliath, does not matter. Someone said prosperity is a great teacher, but affliction is a greater teacher. Gold is always tried by fire. Great men are tried by affliction. When gold is tried in the fire, and the blacksmith is putting the gold in and watching, and they said, how do you know when it's ready? He says, I know when it's ready when I see my likeness in it. When I can see my reflection in it. And you know what? God puts us through the fire. You say, well, how do you know when it's enough? When he sees the likeness of Jesus in us. The Bible says that we're changed in his image, even from glory to glory. The Bible says that it's God. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he's doing. And he'll use his afflictions to get us there. And we trust in God, and we keep our faith in God. And he'll continue to take care of us. He'll continue to provide for us. He'll continue that work in us. He which hath begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Christ. So he'll keep us day by day. We'll never be deserted, never be forsaken, never given up to ruin. Well, that's the voice of experience from Psalm 34. Hope that's been a blessing to you today. Have a great Friday, everybody. And until Monday, this is Brother Slaybaugh reminding you, be good to everyone. Because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.